me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they have murmured against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of the witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out the rod from before the Lord unto the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Father, amen. We ask you, God, just to come upon the scene, Lord, and to give us the message this morning that we need. Hear us, O Lord, that we would be obedient, O God, that we would speak only that which you would say. We ask you, Father, just to condition us, each and every one, that we might receive that which you would have for us here this morning. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, for we're nothing without you. In his holy name we ask you, and amen. As I was thinking this week, and this, I have no idea why God chose this message this morning. But there's a reason for it, and it will accomplish exactly what he wants. The story of the rod of Aaron is for a purpose. It seems that during the time that after they had come through the wilderness, come out of Egypt, they were quite a large number, but they, like a lot of us, they got to feeling like, well, who is he to tell me what to do? You know, don't we get that way a lot of times when we're in a group of people in an organization or something like that, and our leader, we sometimes will say, well, hey, what makes him think he's something? And that's what happened. This fellow by the name of Korah, he instigated a rebellion against Aaron and Moses. And they said to him, what makes you the leader? Who do you think you are to tell us what to do? And it got to a point that they rebelled so greatly that God had to intervene. He had to come upon the scene and to make once and for all who was to lead and who was not. Aaron being chosen, and Moses knew it. They knew it too. But they wanted to question him and rebel against him. So they did. And as they were getting together and trying to overthrow, we would say today, overthrow the government, to overthrow the leader, Moses said to them, he said, well, he said, think about this. He says, if these people die a death of a natural causes, of a natural death, then you're right. But if they die of something that God has created, has just made, then you'll know that God is leading, that Aaron is the man, that this is right by him, that we're under the influence of God. So it happened. It happened. He said, if the earth opens up and swallows them up, then you can be assured that he is in control. And that's exactly what happened. The earth did open up, and they all went in, fell in, live into the earth, and it closed up on them and destroyed them. And it didn't convince him. That was, yeah, even after this, and still they doubted. Still they, as well, to me, that would be kind of convincing that God is God when something happened. It had never happened before. The earth quaked, opened up, and they fell in. Wasn't enough. So, God directed Moses, and he says, take every man rod. Each of the 12 tribes, they had a leader, probably the oldest of the family or whatever. But anyhow, they had a leader, and he was the leader of that tribe, the 12 tribes. And each of these leaders had a rod. And I can kind of imagine what maybe it was. It was something special, like as we dedicated the altar, that the rod must have been something that they had that was really, really special, because even it was mentioned in Psalms, in the 23rd Psalm, thy rod and staff, they comfort me. The rod, okay. So the rod was something very, very, very special. And every tribe had one man carrying the rod. He was the man. He called them all together and he said, every one of you bring your rod to me and write your name upon the rod. And we'll put these rods into the sacred place. And tomorrow, we will look upon them, and if God has moved, he will identify the rod that will be your leader. So they did just that. They put them in there, and the next morning, and he said the rod that God has chosen will bud. Wow. Now, can you imagine? Probably this rod that they carried had been handed down from one to another. It was made, it was sacred, it was a piece of rod made out of almond wood. And this rod probably had been carried a long time and worn by, you know, by the hand. And I can just imagine like some of us older people, we might have a cane or something. But anyhow, it was well used. It was dry. It was old and dry and hard. Yeah. But yet, Moses said that it will bud. It will bud. And as he put them in there, I can just imagine just dead sticks, you know. Ready? Yeah. Completely dead. Okay. But as he went in there the next day, when he pulled them out, one rod. He pulled them out and he started handing them out, and each of those leaders of the 12 tribes, they took their rod and they identified them because they had written their name on them, and they looked at them. Nothing. Just plain old hard sticks. But when they took out the rod of Aaron, there was buds on it. And there was blooms on it. And there was almonds on it. Wow. Can you imagine a dead stick like that coming out with all three at one time? All three, the buds that were just popping out on the thing. Just like our trees are out there. Well, they're pretty much in bloom now. But the buds come out. And then the blooms come out. And then the fruit come out. The almonds were on the rod. Wow. Man, if anything could be convincing, that would be, wouldn't it? Okay. Well, it's kind of odd, you know, that it would have all three at one time. it at the beginning? Just to start. The blue was the intermediate, was the travel, was the where they were, what they were doing. And the fruit was the end result. Wow. You know, that should be our life. That should be the life of the church. The bud. The ideas, the thoughts that we've had so many in our church. We've counseled, we've talked in our meetings, and just plain talked back and forth with one another. We needed this or we needed that. And somebody will have an idea. Someone will come up with some little idea that we need to try. That's a bud. That's a bud. And then we go ahead and possibly, if we pursue it a little bit, we'll get it started and we'll get it into action. And we can see these things start to form and the procedures going on with this project that we're getting into. And then in the end result, we see the result. Which should be, as we proceed to do these little things that we do, whether it be as we done yesterday, just to, insulating the baptistry, or whether it be building the rail, or whether it be getting the choir ready for whatever, or whether it be the trustees getting together and saying, well, we need to do this or that or the other thing, or you ladies of the church doing the things that you do. Well, we do this, but all of those things are ideas, good buds. But the end result, the fruit of the end of that is souls being saved. You see? It all leads up. Well, as they brought that rod out of there and they found on it buds and bloom and almonds, was there any question that God had picked Aaron to do the job? You will listen to what he says. You will follow what he tells you to do, and you will end up in good shape. If we follow those rules, if we follow those standards, everything is just fine. Now, they had been very rebellious, see. And these ones that fell into the big old earthquake and were destroyed, the rest of them come back and said, you're going to destroy us all. You're going to kill us all. And what happened? They said, yes, you're going to destroy these good people. God's going to send a plague. He's going to send a plague on them. He's going to destroy them. Because he said, get out of the way there. You stand back. It's going to happen. And it did. They started to die. And they probably would all die. But Moses and Aaron seen that they had to intervene. They had to get in there. So they prayed to God and got between the living and the dead. Got between them. And stayed the plague. Because they knew that should all these die just for one man's sin? No. Well, they did. And as they brought this Aaron's rod, there was no question. What happened to it? What happened to Aaron's rod?
And he reached up and steadied it, and it killed him dead. God said, don't touch it. Keep that in mind. God said, don't touch it. To prove it, the man died. They did touch it. Well, they carried this ark from place to place with the poles through the rings on their shoulder. And as they carried it about, God was with it. But inside this Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod. Moses put it in there as a reminder of the authority, you see, where it was going. Well, but then down the road a ways, that Ark had a lot of problems. You know, it went here, there, and, but it wound up there in the temple. When all these things that Solomon was putting in the temple that David had gathered up, gold, silver, all these precious things, the Ark of the Covenant went into the temple. It went into the temple, and I really don't know who opened it. I don't know that. But Aaron's rod was not there. It was gone. The manna that had been placed in the ark was gone. It was not there. What happened to it? No man touched it, remember? No man opened it up and took it out. What happened to it? You see, when that ark found its resting place in the temple and the poles were removed, pulled the poles out of it, that was its final place. But the rod of Aaron was not there. Only the tables of the Ten Commandments were there. Only those tables that were written a second time were there in the ark. Wow. Boy, it makes you think, doesn't it? Huh? It makes you, what's this all about here? Why was that rock not there? Well, you see, the bud had started the whole process. The blooms were the all that they had to go through, all the problems they had establishing the temple, what have you. All these things were the blooms, the working, were the blooming, and the fruit was the final resting place. That was God's blessing upon it. It was no longer needed. It was no longer needed. That was the proof, and that proof that was offered to those people in that day is the very same proof that we have today. When God designed this whole world, this whole creation, from in the beginning unto the book of Revelation where it ends, when he designed this whole thing, we find that the budding was in the beginning, way, way back there, before us, and it came up through that time when the rod was no longer needed. We had Jesus Christ. As he came on the scene, then he, as a new way for us, okay? And then the blooming is right now. The church of Jesus Christ is in full blossom today.
Amen.
Yes. The Church of Jesus Christ, although we be few and we be getting fewer and fewer in our churches around over the country today, and there be less belief, there be less following, the world seems to be going quite in the opposite direction. They couldn't care less about Sunday schools or churches or this or that or the other thing. They care more about the almighty dollar and making that money on Sunday than they do about honoring our almighty God. Okay? And it seems like it's going down, 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 but the church itself is in full bloom. Praise the Lord. There's so many other things that distracts people, and it's separating, I feel, the wheat from the tares, as we might say, or the goats from the sheep, whatever you want to call it. But it's a great separation. People, let me tell you, you are privileged this morning to be sitting in the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
You are privileged to be here this morning. It's a gift of God. You have the desire within you. Praise God for it. We could have slept under a bridge last night, or we could be out there in the world doing other things this morning, but praise be unto God. He has allowed us to assemble here in His holy name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. 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 A great privilege. The blooming. You are the blossoms of this almighty plan. And this church is blooming. But folks, the blossoms, as we can see in another week or two, the blossoms of our trees, they'll start to fall off. They'll start to dwindle. They'll start to sprinkle on the ground. You'll see them everywhere, blow it here and there, and on your cars and in your house and all that, you know. But they'll be all around because their work is done. They're finished. The blossom is finished. It's done. And then it sits on the fruit. Ah, the fruit. As the fruit comes on, the blossoms leave. That's exactly where we're at this morning. The blossoms of God's church are falling away. You know? And the fruit of His blessings is just ahead. It's just ahead. It's so close. It's so close. It's here. And we are going to be the fruit. When He steps out on that cloud and says, "Church, come on home." Wow. The fruit has been gathered. Huh? Yes, we are the fruit of the church. If we but just remain faithful and hang in there to the end, it's tough. It's tough. But believe me, that fruit that he gathers is His church. We want to be a part of that fruit. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, that You are so good to us. Lord, that You have provided all our needs. Lord, You have given us everything that we need. Lord, You've instilled within our minds and within our hearts that desire just to serve You, knowing, Lord, that nothing else matters. Things of this world will pass away, but Lord, You are with us forever. And we know, oh God, that if we just hold on and remain faithful, that we will be a part of that great reunion. That we will be able to hear You say, "Enter in, My good and faithful servant." We thank You, Lord, and we praise You just for allowing us to be a great part of Your great salvation. We thank You and we praise You.